Session and hearing today. Somebody just added during our session when it looked like we're going to have a little bit more time to work this afternoon. Full committee is due to meet at 3. I hope we'll be able to finish our hearing and work session here by that time. We've got our session also scheduled at 3 and we hope to be excused from that. Let's proceed first with the hearings on a couple of these bills and then we look to possible work session on the balance of our agenda. And let's start with a hearing on Senate Bill 726. And I believe we've got Mr. Conklin here on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Gary Conklin, Director of Public Affairs for Tektronix. I'm appearing here today in place of Ed Lewis, who is our Associate General Counsel and Assistant Secretary for the Corporation, whose memo to you I have presented at the desk for you to review. I apologize, he's not able to be here. We had a board meeting today at which Mr. Lewis had a presentation, so could not be here. Senate Bill 726 is a bill which has been before the legislature for more than one time. It's not a particularly complicated bill, although the subject has engendered some discussion. Essentially, it's an issue, from our point of view, of fairness. A class of clients do not enjoy the same ability to have a confidential communication with their attorney as do other clients. And these clients, in this case, are people who work for a corporation, but who are not typically officers and directors. And as Mr. Lewis's testimony indicates, we have some 9,600 employees and only 28 directors and executive officers. For all of those people except for 28, our attorneys are not able to have communication with those employees and have that communication remain confidential, as you would expect communication between an attorney and a client. One of the issues that's been raised in connection with this bill is whether or not this is some effort to essentially shield information from discovery. That is not our objective. It is not, in fact, really what confidential communication between an attorney and a client is all about. In fact, it's to the purpose of this bill is only to facilitate productive, positive communication between an attorney and a client. There's no intention, either directly or indirectly, to do anything more than that. And I think Mr. Lewis's memo makes that quite clear. And in fact, extensive testimony that was presented to the Judiciary Committee and the other body, I think, drew that point out. I'd be glad to stop there, Mr. Chairman, and respond to any questions.
Any questions? If not,
you in a work session?
Not yet. Do that a little bit later.
Well, I didn't know if anybody else was going to testify.
Yeah. If there are no questions, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think I need to get a question.
I'm not surprised. Anyone else on 726?
The 905 amendment's not going to have a vote.
Okay, if not, we'll move on to the testimony in Senate Bill 905. And I guess this is a Department of Justice bill. Let's go ahead and ask, I guess, Mr. Thompson from the Department of Justice.
Chairman, members of the committee, Larry Thompson, Assistant Chief Counsel in the General Counsel Division of the Department of Justice. There are a number of other persons in the room here that we've been involved in discussions with over some weeks over Senate Bill 903 and Senate Bill 905, which I believe you may have a proposed amendment here, would have both of the two bills merged into one in Senate Bill 905. The attempt in these two bills and proposed one bill is to authorize state agencies under certain circumstances to represent themselves and also to authorize certain organizations as to listed agencies, and there are basically nine, though some of them are in two parts, like the commission and the department for basically the same agency, using authorized representatives to represent organizations. I think it should be very clear that we're not discussing individual representation here, with one exception, and that's part of the proposed amendment dealing with public assistance cases and representation by authorized representatives out of a legal services office and supervised by a legal aid attorney. I can go through the separate provisions if the chair wishes. I don't know how familiar the committee members are with the concepts, or we can have other folks testify in support.
I don't know if you have any written statement to share with us, or...
We've been putting this thing together on a rather fast track, and I hope to have a full prepared statement within a day or two, Mr. Chair, but I do not have a written statement. Perhaps it would be...
Do you suggest we call up next?
Maybe if I could just go through the two situations, the state agency representation and the authorized representative as they would appear on behalf of organizations, and how they're handled a little bit differently, and then perhaps go to other witnesses.
Okay.
Dealing with the representation of agencies, which is the original Senate Bill 905, and as it shows on the A engrossed version, the proposed amendments in lines 6 and 7 make one addition there that in our discussions we feel should be removed, and that is giving additional authority or imposing additional requirement for the Attorney General to approve those rules. We would concur with deletion of lines 6 and 7 in the proposed amendment, which is LC 2678, dated 6-8. And this is as to 905. The other part of the proposed amendment dealing with the original 905 would repeal what was originally House Bill 2129 dealing with the fire marshal. And that's necessary because that has passed and I believe is either in the governor's office or may have been signed. And the intent was there to have that stand on its own if 903 or 905 or both of them did not pass. So we would want that provision. And then to 905 as to agencies representing themselves, if there is another statute already on the books, that statute would control and this general provision would not. And that would apply to the Department of Revenue, for example, the Builders Board, the Employment Division. Those agencies already have special provision. Subsection A has the Attorney General consenting to the type of representation as to class of hearing or in a particular case. Subsection B would have the agencies promulgate their own rules dealing with these types of hearings. There would be a limitation on agency representatives presenting legal argument or giving legal advice.
Yeah.
And then there's a provision on judicial review. Now that's as to state agencies, and that would apply to all state agencies except those which already have their own special statutory provisions. Now going over to what was formerly 903 and which is being merged into 905, authorized representatives appearing for organizations, that information is in the proposed amendments. And basically, as to the listed agencies, and two of them have been inadvertently omitted, Mr. Chair, the Bureau of Labor and Industry should be added, and Marilyn Koffel is here for that agency. That was the original intent, and somewhere it was not drafted. And the Fire Marshal Division should also be added because we're repealing their special treatment in the bill that's already passed both houses.
Okay.
Then the basic concept as to these few agencies is that authorized representatives can appear for not individuals but for organizations, and they must be authorized by the organization. And the definition of which organizations are involved, and it's intended to be basically inclusive of any organization, including an unincorporated association, is at the bottom of page 2 in subsection 3. Again, there's an omission there, which was agreed upon by the different folks involved. And on line 24, where it says authorized officer, the words "or regular employee" should be added. And Mr. Charles, I think he said he had to leave, is authorized to say, for me to say that with that change, he supports the proposed amendments to 905. Back on page 1, in section 3 at the bottom, lines 25 and 26, the proposed amendment again gives the Attorney General the authority to adopt rules there. I believe I have the concurrence of the other parties that are concerned with this bill to change that language as follows. The Attorney General shall promulgate model rules.
Where would that begin at?
Basically, we would drop the beginning sentence on line 25 as to that line and insert the words, "the Attorney General shall promulgate model," and then drop the first word in line 26, and then I think the word "proceedings" should be in the plural there on line 26.
Okay, Council, did you get a chance to, and did members pick up all those proposed amendments here? I hope so. We may.
We just got ours, and I think I've had the opportunity to check them against all the discussions I've had over the last few days.
Okay, further questions for Mr. Thompson?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanlon.
Page 2 of the printed bill, the Attorney General must consent to the representation. Is that still in there?
That's in A and Gross 905. Yes, that is still in there. As to state agencies only, this would not apply to the private or local government organizations under the old 903.
And does the state entity then have the right to reject or to consent before the Attorney General renders legal opinions in certain areas?
If I understand, we're talking about just the subject of representation and the use of lay representatives. If we're talking about giving advice, our office would render it when requested, or
only when requested.
Yes. Though, let's say we're not representing an agency in a particular class of hearings, and they're not given the authority to represent themselves in a particular class of hearings, they would then, in contested cases, as they do now, use the Attorney General's office.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to make sure that this witness said so, because that's not my experience. And we usually ask for an opinion, and we do so through the speaker. This committee has gotten opinions totally unsolicited.
Okay, further questions or comment regarding Mr. Thompson and his testimony? Okay, if not, thank you very much. Okay, Ms. Hayes? If you'd like to be joined by anybody, feel free.
Why don't you just take Michael Graney from Energy and myself all at the same time?
Okay.
I'm Mark Troseth, the manager of the Hearings Unit for Adult and Family Services.
Okay.
Deb Hayes, Water Resources.
Mike Graney from Department of Energy.
I would just like to say that the Water Resources Commission supports both bills, which I understand now are to be merged into one. At least the amendments that have been forwarded to you suggest that's what will happen. Water decisions involve a wide range of individuals and groups, and it has been a problem in the department because many people cannot afford to hire an attorney in contested case hearings. An example of a situation that's posed a problem, the courts have ruled that declaring a critical groundwater proceeding is a contested case proceeding, not rulemaking. And when we were involved in the Butter Creek critical groundwater area proceedings, a deacon of a church wanted to represent his church and was told that he needed to be represented by an attorney. Just one example of the problems we face. As far as the ability for state agencies to represent themselves, I think in our instance, oftentimes we'll ask another state agency to participate, and they really can't unless they're represented by an attorney. I guess that just quickly, that's all I have to say about the bill as it's proposed, just that I do support it and hope that you'll pass it.
I'm going to read it in a second, but I got into this one.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Department of Energy and our Energy Facilities Siting Council has had similar experiences with Water Resources, and the need there is there both with respect to the private organizations and state agencies. And while I think we'd all agree it's better to have legal representation in a contested case proceeding, the situations we find ourselves in with many of these organizations is if they're required to have an attorney, they simply cannot participate. The Wachang proceeding, the Salt Caves proceedings, which have been had a wide range of interest and a lot of controversy, are two where this rule has really, really hurt. And, for example, the last set of Wachang hearings, the Health Division did not participate because of the attorney's fees they would have had to pay. They have a limited budget for attorney's fees, and so it hits public agencies as well as private organizations. So the bills and the amended 905 today would be a big help to us in that regard. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm Mark Trosseth from the Adult and Family Services Division. I'm speaking on the theory that the bill that I last saw is going to be amended to add a provision about lay representatives from legal services type organizations representing welfare clients at our hearings. I'm here today to support the original 905, which allows for lay representatives of agencies to represent the agency, together with the legal aid proviso that would permit legal aid interns or legal assistants to provide for or to help welfare clients at our hearings. Following the OLCC opinion of 4 years ago, hearings in the AFS agency have become a little bit complex as we've tried to figure out what an agency employee can do and what that employee cannot do because of the practice of law problem. I think clearly this bill would take care of that problem, and it would take care of the problem of having legal aid employees represent our clients at our hearings, which in some cases they could not do. So this bill would take care of both of those problems. It would enhance our hearings and make it much more, much easier for our hearing officers to hold complete hearings. As it is now, they have to hold somewhat disjointed hearings by not being able to take advantage of the employees and the legal aid representatives and their experience in these cases.
Okay, any questions for these three witnesses? Okay, if not, thanks very much. Marilyn Coffell.
Mr. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Marilyn Coffle from the Bureau of Labor and Industries. As some of you are aware, we had a bill this session, Senate Bill 39, that would have allowed our own specific authority to have an authorized representative. That bill quietly died in in-house labor about 2 weeks ago. So I had some talks with the staff from the Attorney General's office, and we are supporting this bill as amended. I am pleased to see that we will not have to deal with rulemaking authority approval by the AG, but we're willing to work with the Attorney General's office on the issue of having their consent for an authorized rep for a particular class of cases or a specific hearing. We think this will dovetail quite nicely into our new hearings unit process that we have put together with the approval and advice of both the Attorney General and the Exec Department. And it's enabled us to really streamline our hearings process.
Okay. Does this take care of you folks?
Yes.
With the...
Yes, it does.
Okay.
And as to the inclusion of us on that list specific to what was 903, I don't have particular strong feelings either way. That was an issue that came up in Senate Labor, making sure that folks could come into our hearings and have an authorized rep for the corporation or company. That's fine with me. I don't have a problem with it.
Okay, any questions for Ms. Coffle? Okay, if not, thanks very much. Okay, Mr. Zarov?
Ira Zarov, employed by Oregon Legal Services, representing the Oregon Human Rights Coalition. I just want to emphasize the importance of representation in these kinds of hearings for welfare recipients. Often what is at stake is their entire income, their medical care, their only resources that they have, and having legal services representatives in those hearings is to great advantage for them. They often win hearings which they may have lost in other circumstances.
Okay, any questions for Mr. Zarov? Okay, if not, thank you. John Charles, still here? Anyone else on 905? Mr. Olson, do you want to share any comments with us at this time?
Bob Olson, State Bar Association. I do have general awareness and have been involved with some of the understandings that are in the amendments. I did not see the precise amendments until just a few minutes ago, and to give a specific reaction from our legislative committee to this proposed legislation, I would probably need another day to do that, because I'm just acting off of the conceptual positions that we have and our concern about extending provisions for non-lawyer representation unless there's a demonstrated high level of need. And I guess the thing that this committee is being asked to do, and we would encourage you to do this, is to have each of the agencies asking to be included on the list to demonstrate the need to be there. Because certainly there have been some problems, and I think we've attempted to work with those bodies to address those problems. But there are also more agencies on the list now than the number of agencies that appeared in the Senate asking for consideration. So that's about all I can say at this point.
Okay. Mr. Olson, did you folks get a chance to participate over on the Senate side, or what happened over there?
That was in the Senate Labor Committee, and we did testify, expressed our concerns, I think the bills were, the skids were fairly well greased by the time the hearing took place. So there was not much discussion.
Came out of the Labor Committee?
Yes, Senate Labor Committee. And that's another reason why I think this committee needs to spend a little time reviewing the issues that are involved in this. And you're making some fairly major decisions by enacting this legislation.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Olson? Okay. Any other witnesses on 905? Mr. Charles.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry I wasn't here a few minutes ago, but for the record, my name is John Charles. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Environmental Council. And we have tracked this to the Labor Committee. We have an interest in this because we occasionally appear in contested case proceedings. We are a nonprofit corporation, and although I am the executive director, I'm not an attorney. And although we generally seek to have attorneys represent us on a pro bono basis in contested case proceedings, we do not wish to be required to always have to have an attorney, since we feel that either myself or someone else on the staff may occasionally be the appropriate person in these quasi-judicial proceedings, as they're commonly called, which are sometimes relatively informal. And so we supported the amendments, which were added, or the deletions in Senate Bill 903, and I know that's now being merged into 905. And when I was looking at the copy of the LC amendments before the hearing started, my only concern was that it authorized a number of representatives from nonprofit corporations and others to appear in contested case proceedings, but it used language such as an officer of a nonprofit corporation, and technically that doesn't really help me. I am not an officer. I am an employee of a nonprofit corporation, and it would help us if that language was in the bill. If not, our organization would have to deputize me temporarily as an officer of the corporation, which I really am not. And if the language of an employee of a nonprofit association or corporation, that would cover our concerns, and we'd be very supportive of the bill.
Okay. Any questions, Mr. Charles? Okay, if not, thanks very much. Okay, let's move on to the hearing on 1039. Ms. Godwin here?
Dick. I'll do all the hearing work session.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Diana Godwin representing the Oregon State Bar. I want to thank the committee for giving us the opportunity to have a hearing on this bill on very short notice, but you can understand on short notice you get me as a witness. The reason the Oregon State Bar put this bill in is in response to an Oregon Supreme Court case that came down during the early part of this session, and it had in it some language which called into question the authority of a circuit court to allow partial attorney fees and other expenses prior to the final accounting in the probate of an estate. This caused great consternation to the bar's estate planning and administration section of the bar, because many attorneys seek partial payments of some expenses and attorney fees during the course of probate of an estate. Some of the probates can take a lengthy period of time, and there is a need to be able to pay out some partial disbursements. And in this case, it's the Enrico case, and I have a copy of that with me if counsel would like it. The court said that they can find no statute that provides for, quote, partial allowances of attorney fees. As I said, many practitioners seek and obtain these partial fees, but now this new language calls into question the authority of the court. Our section supports making this clear, as does Judge McLennan of the Multnomah County Circuit Court Probate Department and Judge Lund of the Washington County Circuit Court Probate Department. The bill was amended in the Senate to make it clear that when an attorney sought or petitioned the court for this partial disbursement, that they had to show, had to make a showing that the final accounting in the probate matter could not be filed within a reasonable period of time. That there was the reason the probate was staying open for so long was not just because of delay or other unimportant reasons, but that there was active, ongoing matters still pending. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions, Ms. Godwin? Counsel, do we recall or do you know when the Senate acted on this and what the vote was, or do you have that information?
Well, I have to tell you that Actually, Bill Taylor is the one who has this file folder, so perhaps I should go get Mr. Taylor.
Okay.
It was very recent, Mr. Chair, within the last week and a half on that 1039 passed the Senate. I believe it passed without opposition, but we'll get a clarification on that. Shall we wait till Mr. Taylor's files come back?
Sure, I think you're up on the next.
Yes, I am. Let me grab my papers on the next one. If this is Senate Bill 139, it must be Bill Taylor.
1039.
I vote for that one.
Okay, we don't. Representative Phillips will be excused then. Okay, we'll carry 812 over until tomorrow at approximately 4 p.m. If, Mr. Olson, you find out it would be more advantageous to your people for us to try to schedule that at an earlier time, let us know. I don't think it'd be much earlier than 3. Okay, that leaves us with 3351. Did we get extra copies of those amendments?
Do you want these amendments?
Mr. Chair? Have we distributed those to everybody?
Yeah, do you need one? Are you sure?
Well, as a matter of fact, it wouldn't hurt. Okay, we'll send Dick's.
Probably move the amendments to HB 3351.
Okay, we'll send one. Dick's moves to abolish one amendments to House Bill 3351. Representative Bond.
Wonder if Representative Dix would accept as a friendly amendment making a clear effective date that applies to any causes of action arising after the effective date of the act. I might just explain the amendment. The reason I make the amendment is because all of the insurance premiums to date have been set on the rules of the game up to this date, and if we make that clear, it starts at that point.
I don't have any problem. What's the date you had in mind?
Mr. Chair, if there's not an objection, then I would ask that that become a part of the amendment.
I don't have any objection to that. Representative Bunn is moving as a friendly amendment that it be provided that this would not apply to any causes or any actions arising before the effective date of the act.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
And I don't believe there's an emergency clause, so it would have the normal effective date. Representative Dix, you accept that as a friendly amendment to your motion on the dash one amendments?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bond.
I wanted to express some concerns with the amendments in the bill itself. I want to point out on the bill itself that we're allowing a person to, in effect, self-insure themselves for up to $300,000 when they insure the other party for only $25,000. We're putting in 18% interest on amendments that, as I understand it, come from the same group that have opposed 18% interest on Visa cards and that sort of thing, and I can't understand the inconsistency there. I oppose the bill, but I won't make any further comment.
Okay. Thank you. The clerk will call the roll on the dash one amendments.
What groups? Let me make a note of
it.
No. Oregon.
Yes.
Aye.
Hamill.
to adopt it as amended.
Hypocritical budget.
Representative Dix.
I move House Bill 3351 as amended to the full committee with a new press recommendation.
Representative Dix moves House Bill 3351 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? And if not, the clerk will call the roll, please.
I'm sorry, what's the...
This is on the bill as amended to the full committee.
No.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion's adopted. Is there any other business to come before the full, or pardon me, the subcommittee? Okay, if not, the subcommittee will be adjourned. Full committee will convene at 3 p.m. We may be slightly delayed if we have to do a floor session. I'm going to ask that the committee be excused from the floor session, so unless members are advised otherwise, please plan on being here at 3 to continue our work on 324 and 325.
That's beautiful.